2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And look at how it describes all the people. I will say, it's kind of light. They were having trouble with their copier. So it's either that or nothing. So I said, maybe we could make it work. Can you see it okay back there? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Boy, that's a big one. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it, from such turn away. You may be seated. What we read was a great description for today's world. I am interrupting my series on the thorns in your sides because there is so much occurring in today's world that is evil that I thought I needed to bring a sermon on what was happening. Every new invention has a good and evil aspect to it. We are fast approaching the time where there would be much learning, but it doesn't produce the scholars that would reveal the truth of the Bible. There are a multitude of verses which tell us of God's love for a certain people that has been forgotten or relegated to the Old Testament, which they say is about another people. Let's look at just one scripture. It's Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day." These two verses were spoken to the Israel people, not the Jews or Canaanites, for they are not the same people. The Jews were not there to hear this when it was spoken by Moses. God told them, the Israelites, that he delighted in their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, to love them. And he chose, another word for choose is elect, he chose or elected their seed after them, which is you, which are above all people. That's my introduction. I now have a picture. It's Clinton's, the World Vision, and P&G. It didn't come out very good, did it? In the middle is Bill Clinton. To the right of him is his daughter, Chelsea. And then there's World Vision's Dr. Greg Allgood. And then Procter & Gamble's Tumen Kompyus. They are there bringing clean water to the Rwandan children. All the children in the background, you can't see it up there, are black. Through the aid of Procter & Gamble's water purification packets. World Vision is a false Christian humanitarian organization that has the following mission statement. We acknowledge, here's their mission statement. We acknowledge one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ, the love, mercy, and grace of God are made known to us and all people. From this overflowing abundance of God's love, we find our call to ministry. We proclaim together, Jesus lived, died, and rose again. Jesus is Lord. We desire Him to be the central in our individual and corporate life. We seek to follow Him in His identification with the poor, the afflicted, the oppressed, the marginalized, in His special concern for children, in His respect for the dignity bestowed by God on women equally with men. Where's that at? In His challenge to unjust attitudes and systems, in His call to share resources with each other. And here's the big one. In His love for all people without discrimination or conditions. In His offer of new life through the faith in Him. What's a universal organization? It's available to all peoples. World Vision is a giant so-called Christian humanitarian organization. They say on their website that they work in nearly 100 countries, serving all people, regardless of religion, race, ethnicity, or gender. They really serve mostly black, brown, and Asiatic people. They even advocate you sponsoring a child, mostly alien children, for $35 a month, which comes out to $420 a year. They say the God that they serve has love for all people without discrimination or conditions. I hear that so much. And it's like, have you never read the Bible? That proves that they do not serve the God of the Bible. For the prophet Amos said that, quote, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. The you refers to Israel. Did God love the seven nations of the Canaanites? He told His people to go and kill every one of them without exception. How does that show His love for all people without discrimination or conditions? Another example would be the city of Jericho. Who brought down the walls of Jericho after His people obeyed His commands? Another would be the cities of the plains, which includes Sodom and Gomorrah. Who do you think brought down the fire and brimstone that completely destroyed these five cities? Another would be the Afrikaners versus the Zulus in the amazing Battle of Blood River. How did 464 wagon-trained farmers slaughter so many Zulu warriors without any of their animals or themselves being even hurt? And the death of their enemy turned the river blood red. The complete destruction of the most powerful army in the world that was camping outside the gates of Jerusalem. Who made them kill themselves? Was it the God of the Bible? But that is not what this message is about. What struck me was President Clinton teaming up with the World Vision and Procter & Gamble. P&G has its headquarters in Cincinnati, in a building that sits right across the street from the city's Masonic Hall. It is known to be a Freemasonic company. It has spent over $40 million providing water purification packets to millions of children and their families. They are a partner with World Vision and are providing for mostly children of color. Why? Did you know that Procter & Gamble is being boycotted by some groups that say that P&G is too liberal? Now, a while back, they were accused of being satanic. They had satanic symbols. They have promoted the LGBT sexual revolution and same-sex marriages. I'll give you two organizations that are against them. Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the Family and Donald Wildman of the American Family Association has called for a boycott of their products. Sounds like a very good idea to me. I have a letter that was sent to the members of the American Family Association. It's up there. Let's see. Put it up there. See if you can read it. Yeah, that's it. The subject, P&G policy leads to support for homosexual marriage. Crest, that's Crest toothpaste. Tide, that's the detergent. Crest Tide Maker gives money, clout to repeal law forbidding special rights for homosexuals. P&G policy leads to support for homosexual marriage. Procter & Gamble, makers of Crest toothpaste and Tide detergent, has publicly thrown their support and money behind the homosexual political agenda. P&G recently wrote to their Cincinnati employees urging them to support the repeal of a city law that forbids giving special rights to homosexuals. In 1993, the citizens in Cincinnati adopted the law by a vote of 62% to 38%. P&G is now working to get that law repealed and has given $10,000 towards that goal. To our knowledge, Procter & Gamble is the first company, the first one, to support the political agenda of the homosexual movement. While not explicitly saying so in their public announcement supporting the repeal, P&G clearly showed their support for homosexual marriage. Procter & Gamble said they will not tolerate discrimination against homosexuals in any form, against anyone for any reason. To keep homosexuals from being legally married is discrimination, which P&G says they will not tolerate. Taking them at their word, P&G supports homosexual marriage. And then the American Family Association asked their members to take action. American Family Association is asking pro-family groups and individuals to, number one, boycott two products of P&G, Crest toothpaste and Tide detergent. And make sure your replacement is not a P&G product. Second, call the chairman, gives the phone number, and politely let him know that you are participating in the boycott and will ask others to do the same. Then you click where it says here to register your support for the boycott, and they'll send updates, and then forward the email to your friends, and then print out and distribute and boycott Crest and Tide petition. Sincerely, Donald E. Wideman, founder and chairman of the American Family Association. And notice, many people are noticing what these corporations are doing. I got another letter from the Sons and Daughters of Liberty. This letter said, in 2011, the Williams Institute at the YCLA School of Law, a sexual orientation law and public policy think tank, estimated that 9 million, which is about 3.8% of Americans, identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. Now you may ask, how were just 9 million people able to assert their will against everyone else in the country, having a population of about 320 million. The reason is because they stuck together as a group and boycotted every single corporation they perceived as a threat to their cause. And what they were able to do with just 9 million, well, imagine we can do with 100 million. Now, I would have to add, they had the media, the press behind them. So let's play the same game the Gays did and let these corporations know that we're no longer going to put up with our rights being denied and heritage being destroyed. Below, you'll find the contact information for the five largest consumer corporations selling products in America. And a sample or example, short note to send them, letting them know you will no longer buy their products because of their supporting the destruction of your rights and heritage. Be warned, though, these corporations don't make it easy to contact them, though as their response forms can be long and sometimes confusing. But you can do it. The reason they make it hard is because they know that only the most dedicated will outlast them. And those are the people they really want to know about. And then after you send these corporations your letter, see the list below of the products to stop buying immediately. Well, here's the five largest consumer corporations that the Sons and Daughters of Liberty say they will not buy their products. Number one is Nestle. Number two, Procter & Gamble again. Three, Unilever. And four, PepsiCo. And five, the Coca-Cola Company. Isn't that interesting? Well, then I got on the big new churches. This blew me away. And we got a picture, which you're not going to be able to see, but put it up there anyway. It's a picture of a mother, father, and three children. You can't see it. Joyce wants to pass it around. Does anybody know who these people are? I bet you nobody knows who they are. I didn't know who they were either until I saw it last week. And that started me on a question that I don't know the answer to. Let me give you the background of my question. The United States of America has changed greatly in its 240 years of history. For example, when our Constitution was first passed, who could vote? Could Hillary Clinton vote? Ted Cruz? Barack Obama? Al Sharpton? Connie Chung? Vanessa Hudgens? Dr. Oz. Well, no woman could vote until 1920. So Hillary, Connie, and Vanessa would be a no. No Cuban was allowed to vote. No black or mulatto, and no Muslim was allowed to either, so that's a no to the other four men. None of these people are allowed to vote according to our original Constitution. What churches were in America? Well, we had the Episcopal, Roman Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, and a few others. What about the black churches? And what is now the United States, the Spanish and French missionaries had very little contact with the Negroes during the early period, as they were found in large numbers along the Atlantic coast only. Maryland was the only Atlantic colony in which the Catholics had the opportunity to make an appeal to a large group of Negroes. After some opposition of the people of that colony, Early met the test of preaching the gospel to all, regardless of color. The first priests and missionaries operating in Maryland regarded it as their duty to enlighten the slaves. And as the instruction of the communicants of the church became more systematic to make their preparation adequate to the proper understanding of the church doctrine, Some sort of instruction of the Negroes attached to these establishments was provided in keeping with the sentiment expressed in the first ordinances of the Spanish and French sovereigns, and later in the Black Code governing the bondmen in the colonies controlled by the Latins. Later, the Protestants made a major error, a big-time error, and they followed. Many of them sponsored black churches with white preachers. And then others also began with black preachers. But there is no black church in the world before the late 1700s. The black slaves began to form churches at this time and have continued to do so. Let me ask you a question. Are they true churches? Is the seed of Jacob a Negro seed? No. The Bible is not written to or about them. Let's think about this for a short while. The headline in the newspaper was from a sermon given by the interim pastor of the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, where nine victims of Dylan Ruth were killed. The pastor said last Sunday that, quote, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." And the audience cheered. Can this verse be applied to blacks? Who was this written about? The verse is Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. It reads, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." That's the verse that the pastor quoted and applied it to the black congregation. He didn't read the rest. "And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." The entire 54th chapter refers to Israel as the subject matter. For example, verse 5 states, quote, "For thy maker is thine husband," unquote. And doesn't it say in Psalms 136, verse 22, that, quote, "Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever," unquote. Is that the Negro or is that Israel? Is the Negro the servant of the Lord or is it Israel? Well, what can a black do? The Bible was written for Israel only. But let's get to the big new churches. The one in Cincinnati, Crossroads, and there's one also in Florence, Mason, and the western part of town, is the second largest church in the entire area. It follows only the Roman Catholic Church. When was it started? 20 years ago. It started as a weekly Bible study in a Hyde Park home in Cincinnati. It soon moved to a schoolhouse when it grew in numbers. But whose house was it that they first met? This is the church that says, quote, "Their messages are not called sermons. They have a pastor, not a minister or a preacher. There's a rock band instead of a choir. And there's free coffee." Their mission statement is, quote, "We believe that our staff's responsibility is to display the love of Jesus Christ and the character of God to the community and to the volunteers that day to day, week to week, make things happen at Crossroads. We stress excellence not only in execution, but also in processes and relationships. We fall short on these ideals often. We just strive to do what would honor God in everything we do and try to give each other grace when things don't work out the way we thought they would. The church had its origin as a Bible study. They met in the home of Jim and Vivien Bechtold. Both were executives at Procter & Gamble. Jim has since left the company. He left in the year 2007 and started his own entertainment company that is backed by the Freemasonic lenders. That affects Joyce and me because we know one of the five Leonard brothers. He is a consultant on a host of other companies. While they were having their Bible study at their home for a while, the question arose between Jim and another Bible study member. Why don't we start a church? How'd they find their preacher? Online. They found the preacher by going online with enough money for the preacher to go for 1 year. They began. They decided to meet at Clark Montessori School in 1996. They expected about 100 people to show up at their first church meeting. But they had about 450 church attendees come. Before I get too carried away, let me go back and tell you about his wife. In the picture, you can see, it'll be on our website, you can see the picture very clearly. But Jim is a Caucasian. And he is married to a Chinese Filipino mongrel. Her grandfather left China during the Communist Revolution and went to Brazil. From there, he immigrated to the United States. Her grandmother was a Filipino who came to the United States in the early 1900s. Her name is Vivinia, V-I-V-I-E-N-N-E. What is it?
Vivian.
She grew up near St. Louis, Missouri, and after graduating from high school, went to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. That's MIT. After graduating, she came to Procter & Gamble. She married Jim Bechtold as they both worked at P&G. So the church they helped found is called Crossroads. You know, that's the church. 7 months from now, we'll be having the Super Bowl party at their church. It first met in the home of the Bechtolds, a miscegenating couple. Sounds like the Jehovah's Witness beginning. It, too, was a Freemasonry church. And I got a picture of Vivini, but you can't see it, so it's not worth putting up there. This is a picture of Vivini Lee Bechtold. She was a global brand manager for Procter & Gamble Company. She also joined the board of directors of Deaconess, which is a hospital association. Incorporated. And get this. And she and two others from Crossroads Church serve as a part of the advisory group of the Cincinnati Underground Railroad. And she and two other members serve as trustees at Cincinnati Hills Christian Academy, CHCA. Do you think that's a true Christian school? Its main contributor is Lindner, a Freemason who as a youth was a worshiper of the Eastern religions, what the Beatles did. Now he's a member of one of these new big churches. All I can say is, may God have mercy on my soul. Pastor Jerry Wickey preached about this situation over 20 years ago. He said that he had read that the new megachurches were based on what? The marketing skills of the secular world. And you know, he's absolutely correct. Vivini, if that's how you pronounce her name, has lived around the world, including 3 years in Japan. Vivini is a people person who can literally work with anyone. She can't work with us. That's not a true statement. She can also speak to just about anyone having studied 5 languages. Listen to this sentence. Vivini's interest in the nonprofit sector led her to use her business and brand building skills, exactly what Pastor Wickey said, to start one of the world's fastest growing churches with nearly 20,000 attendees a week and over $100 million raised. Vivini led the development of P&G's Marketing University, providing all corporate training for 5,000 plus marketing employees worldwide. While she lived in Asia, she received the President's Award for Best Turnaround of a Function. Vivini led the United States, there's that word again, diversity efforts for Asians in marketing and consumer research, resulting in breakthrough retention and advancement numbers. And she was a key leader on P&G's global women's leadership team, resulting in greater empowerment, satisfaction, and business growth among women. That's the feminist movement. If you think that a miscegenating couple would not be in favor of miscegenous marriages, what do you think their church believes? Was a Chinaman the seed of Jacob? Was a Filipino the seed of Jacob? When the church was asked about the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriages, the Crossroad Church failed to give any answer. One of the main doctrines of the Freemasons is equality of all races. This is the main doctrine of almost every church in America today. But it didn't used to be. Do you think that you're equal with a native in the jungles of New Guinea? Now I'm going to talk about the Sandy Hook $1 trillion lawsuit. I told you that I would never let you forget the false flag of Sandy Hook. And another shocking twist in the Sandy Hook saga, filmmaker and author William Brandon Shanley has launched a wave of lawsuits for more than $1 trillion against big media over the Sandy Hook massacre coverage. Exactly what we've been saying for 2 years. I'm going to read you Mr. Shanley's statement. Quote, after exhaustive research, so he's researched this greatly, the good news is the overwhelming evidence, overwhelming, reveals that no children or teachers died at Sandy Hook 2 years ago. For relief, I have filed lawsuits against the media in the U.S. District Court in New Haven for fraud and terrorism. Here is an example of our abundant evidence, Exhibit D. The Connecticut State Police dash cams record no evacuation of children from school at critical moments. Mr. Shanley's complaint states in part, going on here, defendants entered into a multi-year conspiracy, meeting in groups separately and together to commit fraud and terrorism thought they were supposed to fight terrorism. They're committing terrorism. That is, to brainwash the public into thinking a lone gunman drill known as the Sandy Hook Massacre was real. Did you believe that? When in fact it was a staged FEMA national level exercise event that redirected government resources to terrorize the public. These crimes were undertaken with the intent of subverting the U.S. Constitution and to affect national, state, and local laws. This fraud involved lying to the public. You mean the press would lie to us? Faking news. They faked news. They had green screens. Publishing one-sided news reports. Censoring reality. Suppressing facts. And deliberately skewing the news to shift public perceptions. The true cost of this breach of integrity and trust to society are unfathomable. Instead of fulfilling their constitutional role as the people's surrogates and being honest brokers of information, the plaintiff will show how the men and women who dominate the TV news industry in the United States broke laws, besmirched the First Amendment, their constitutional role as government watchdogs, and forfeited the right to report the news, and thereby profited from news production and distribution. The New York Times, Associated Press, the Hartford Courier, and the Newtown Bee are being sued for $10 billion U.S. dollars punitive damage in a separate complaint. I bet that never gets to court. Now we have decline in the honeybee population, drought, and the outbreak of avian flu. This trio of threats are to our food supply. Last year, we lost 42% of the honeybee colonies. Honeybees are absolutely crucial to agricultural activity. Without honeybees to pollute crops, there'd be no longer be plentiful supply of apples, almonds, blueberries, cherries, avocados, cucumbers, onions, grapefruits, oranges, pumpkins, amongst numerous other crops. One of the main killers is pointed out to be a new pesticides that are now being used on plants that are killing the bees. The drought in California, which is having a huge impact on food supply, has now gone on for 4 years. They have received only 1 year of rain over the course of the last 4 years. The state government has implemented a series of water restrictions, which could result in hefty fines if Californians fail to comply. And the outbreak of avian flu has led to the death of how many chickens and turkeys? 48 million so far. Consequently, there's a shortage of eggs, which has led to an increase in the price across the nation. Well, there's fires burning out west. They even had the fireworks start a fire. Fires are going wild out west. There's floods in the south and east, tornadoes and severe storms all through the United States. Don't you think God is judging this nation that is turning so far away from what he said that doing the opposite of what he said? There's only one solution: repent and obey his laws. I will now give you my conclusion. I will conclude with a couple articles that I received this week. The first one is from the Virginia Christian Israelite. Quote, before folks in the Charleston area became aware of it, political ponderers and their prostitutes in the media were already doing their malevolent worst to exacerbate the tragedy. He knows about the media. The mass execution was painted not as the capital crime of a homicidal maniac, whom under law would have already forfeited his own life, but is one more stereotypical example of a pervasive white-on-black crime culture. Bombarding the airways, and boy, they bombard the airways, with charges of white supremacy, innate Negro hatred by whitey, and horror stories about the twin menaces of neo-Nazism and the increasing gun ownership. Saturation images of the so-called Confederate flag were once again confounded with racial bigotry. We all heard that, didn't we? A few days later, South Carolina's governor, she's a woman governor, capitulated to the lying mantra of the culture destroyers, essentially agreeing that the battle flag of the Army of Northern Virginia was a hate symbol and would be removed from the state capitol complex. You remember when she came on TV and said that? Wholesale hysteria followed, and announcements by major retailers, flag manufacturers, internet marketers, and other state capitals that they would no longer produce, sell, offer, or display this historic emblem of patriotism by 258,000 Southern soldiers, 85% of whom never owned a slave, who paid the ultimate sacrifice defending their homes against Abraham Lincoln's marauders. This is a great victory for the culture destroyers in our midst. Culture destroyers in our midst. I wonder who they are. Those who cannot legitimately claim any country as their patria, but consider themselves first citizens of the entire globe, the so-called international community. These people and their flag are the perennial enemies of all nations and of all mankind, unquote. When articles about the Confederate flag were written, I noticed, what's the main source that the articles look to? The Southern Poverty Law Center. The spokesman for the culture destroyers that are in our midst. The so-called international community, or the Jewish communists. And finally, I will close with two articles from the Tulsa newspaper. Tulsa, Oklahoma is one of the biggest cesspools of religious junk churches in the whole world. The article deals with the Free Thought Forum that was held there about 2 weeks ago on June 20th. One of the speakers said that, quote, events like this are critically important, especially for people who have found themselves rejecting their belief in God and in the supernatural. Human beings are relational creatures. We crave community. Unquote. The Oklahoma Freethought Convention is sponsored by the Atheist Community of Tulsa. Oklahoma Atheists, the American Atheist, United Coalition of Reason and Foundation Beyond Belief. Well, that's something. And the last article deals with chaplains leading non-religious groups at colleges. It tells of a son of a prominent evangelist who grew up in the church and later turned to belief that there is no God. His mission is to build, educate, and nurture a, there's that word again, diverse community of atheists, humanists, agnostics, and the non-religious. You know, the Jurassic Park movie stated that the park scientists created the dinosaur from mixed DNAs. It wasn't created by Almighty God. They created it. And you know, this is the standard practice by scientists today. Mixed DNAs to produce all kinds of hybrid creatures. California is close to passing a mandated vaccination for all of its school children. No exceptions. Personal beliefs or religious ones are not accepted. Robots are being created to help build all kinds of different factory-laden jobs. And artificial intelligence is growing that soon computers will be smarter than humans. And then there was Rachel Dolezal, a white woman who says that she is black. She has been accused of misrepresenting her racial background. This was even more significant because she was an activist for the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People, a Jewish civil rights organization. The total number of Israelites in the world is less each day as the deaths are not being replaced by the births. Let's see, abortions, same-sex marriages, lower birth rate of Israelites is contributing to this number of low births. I could add miscegenation too. Christian identity is the only one with the answer to the total destruction of our race. I know nobody else. It's the covenant that God made with our fathers was unconditional. It was based on His faithfulness, for it was He alone who walked between the slain animals, for Abram was in a deep sleep. So fear not. God will keep His covenant with His people. Let's be very clear. The fellowship of God's covenant people believe that abortion is wrong. Feminism is wrong. Sodomite activity is wrong. Same-sex marriages are wrong. Universalism is wrong. Vaccinations are wrong. Pornography is wrong. 501c3 churches are wrong. The separation of church and state is wrong. The Bible was written for and about only the covenant people of God. True churches have to be segregated churches. America Day is like the ancient house of Israel in that they worship Baal. I could go on and tell you other things going on in the world. Banks are forbidden to loan. To make loans with interest to their own people. Today, Greece is voting on this mess that they're in. And the Pope of Rome is having a conference on global warming. The world is going straight down to hell. And it's getting worse and worse. It's not going to stop at same-sex marriages. They've got 12 other things they're going to push. When in the world are our people going to stand up and say, I've had it? Open their Bible and say, God chose me to be His people and begin to keep His laws. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.